Please turn with me to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. I'll be reading from the New International Version. So a few weeks ago, we looked at Titus chapter 2. This time we're going backwards. Titus chapter 1. But first of all, I'd like to ask you a question. Are you a good judge of character? Yeah? Well, if you're the type of trusting person who always thinks the best of people, you may fall for any sob story or get taken in by things you read on the internet. Then perhaps you're not such a good judge of character. But also, if you're the type of cynical person who always thinks the worst of people but never trusts anyone, then you may not be a good judge of character either. The Bible says, to the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. It's very difficult to be a good judge of character in a world where we have to lock our doors and protect ourselves with passwords and PIN numbers. We know there are confidence tricksters out there who knock on the doors of old people and coax them out of their life savings. However, for each one of those, there are 100 kind souls who work hard and are kind and charitable. Human nature is tainted, but it still bears the image of the Creator. We're faced with character choices every day. Some are trivial, like who to ask in the supermarket where the pickles are kept, or who at work can you trust to get the job done properly. Some character choices are more serious, like whom do you leave your children with, or in what care home should you put your parents. We look at authority figures and we think that they must have some kind of inherent qualities because of their position. But there have been so many times that those positions have been abused that we need to take care. We need to make choices about our future and the future for those whom we are responsible. How do we make those choices? What do we look for in people, or in leaders? I read a book once by John Maxwell called The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. And he said that everyone has some level of leadership and that it can be developed. Well, I'm not so sure. Some people are just not cut out to be leaders. But instead, their qualities are in other areas. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13, it was he, that is God, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. The Bible says elsewhere that, you know, we're all different parts of that body. We're not all arms and legs. It doesn't say that we are all one of these ministries, but that some of us are. And as we are all God's people, we need those who are leaders to help us to grow into the fullness of Christ. That's the purpose of a leader in the church, to help someone grow into the fullness of Christ. So this morning, we're going to look at the need or the necessity of church government and the types of leaders that God chooses. And the passage that we're going to look at that I mentioned before is Titus chapter 1. If you remember back in June, I spoke on Titus chapter 2 and we looked at our need to be prepared to be prepared. That we need to have a teachable spirit and attitude. So this morning we're going to look at the next part of that, as well as a teachable spirit, we also need a trustworthy teacher. So what kind of teachers or what kind of leaders will God choose? God chooses good leaders who point to Jesus. And we're going to split that down into three. Firstly, God chooses. Secondly, good leaders. And thirdly, who point to Jesus. And we're going to look at each in turn as we go through Titus chapter 1. So verses 1 to 4 to begin with. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, a faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. And at his appointed season, he brought his word to light through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of God our Saviour. Now that's quite a mouthful. We'll look at that in a moment. To Titus, my true son in our common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Saviour. So let's look at this introduction to Titus. The first thing that we need to note here is that God is in charge. It's God who chooses the leaders. Paul said he was entrusted by the command of God our Saviour. It was God who commanded Paul to be a leader, to preach, to entrust him, to do the work. It's God who chooses those leaders. After all, it is God who created those leaders in the first place. It's God who shaped their lives and brought them through experiences that would give them the leadership skills they would need to deal with our problems. So when we consider church government, we need to understand that God is in charge. Secondly, we need to know that God is not just in charge at the top, like some CEO. As you know, I work for Dixon's Car Phone, and the person at the top is Sir Charles Dunstan. And I've only ever seen him probably twice in my 10 years there, probably because I don't mix with that kind of level of leadership. But God's not like that. He doesn't lead from the top and just let everything organize. He's also at work in each level of leadership, and even in you and I. He's like the undercover boss who secretly works on the shop floor to reward his employees. By his Holy Spirit, God is causing the church to move and grow according to his will and his power. So God's rule of his church is through the governance and leadership that he himself has put in place and he himself is working through at every level. God chooses. It's not a democracy where the leaders are elected. We know that that can be abused, and politicians of poor character can come to power through schemes or through money. It's not an anarchy where there are no leaders and we're all free to do what we want. We know that that can lead to chaos and people seeking their own interests at the expense of others. It's not a socialist movement where everyone is pushed to be the same and follow the same pattern. We know that everyone is a unique individual with strengths and weaknesses. Some are leaders and some are not. It's not a dictatorship where one person is in charge and forcing all others to do their will. We know that love is the foundation and the mortar that holds the kingdom of God together. There we have it. It's a kingdom, and the king is Jesus. God has made us his royal priesthood. As the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. This says that even though you may not be a leader in the church, you are chosen. You are royalty. You are holy, and you belong to God. You can be sure of that this morning. You've been selected by God, and you are here this morning to declare his praises. God chooses. So, back to our text. Paul introduces this letter to Titus, calling himself a servant. That's the big difference between God's governance of the church and how the world governs. Anyone who called to be a leader in the church is being called to serve. We must follow the example of our Lord Jesus Christ himself, as he says in Luke 22, verses 24 to 27. And it says, a dispute arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. Jesus said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. Paul was a servant and he was following the example of Jesus. Paul also had confidence. Because of his authority, he had confidence in that because it was authority from God. He knew that his authority came from God. The authority was from the command of Jesus. God chose Paul to lead. God also chose Titus. And Paul was encouraging Titus in this passage that his authority was also rooted in Jesus Christ for the benefit of the church that he was serving. Titus was the kind of leader that God chooses. God chooses good leaders who point to Jesus. Let's have a look in verses 5 to 9 then at what these good leaders are like. Verse 5 of Titus chapter 1. The reason I left you in Crete was that you might straighten out what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. An elder must be blameless, the husband of but one wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Since an overseer is entrusted with God's work, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. So in this next section, Paul reminds Titus of the task that he gave him, to put things in order and to establish a church government of elders. Paul reminds Titus here of the qualities of an elder. Now, this is not like any job spec I've ever seen. I don't know about you. Can you imagine going to the job centre and looking through their cards to see one from your local church? In the last few weeks, I've received two letters to the manager of HR, Apostolic Church, Amin Corner. And it's contained this gentleman's CV and an accompanying letter. It's a gentleman, and he says, Dear Sir, Madam, RE, warehouse/administration vacancies. This is to HR at Apostolic Church, remember. I'm writing to inquire as to whether you have any current or upcoming warehouse or administration vacancies. Please see the attached copy of my curriculum vitae for your attention in respect to any vacancies in this area. I'm interested in a career working in warehousing or administration. I've experience in both but need to expand my skill set. I believe I would be an asset to your company. I'm willing to learn new skills as needed. So I'm going to keep this on file just in case. But this, that happened, but can you imagine if someone was trying to advertise a job as an elder? How would the job description go? Well, you probably see the card. If I don't know whether I've not been in a job centre for a few years. Probably still have the card up. It says, wanted for the position of elder at the Leeds Apostolic Church. The individual must be of utmost integrity and humility. The individual must have patience to deal with the public and other problem staff. The individual must have proven experience within their own family by bringing up their children to behave calmly, with respect and obedience. The individual must not be a drunk or take bribes or be abusive to others and must never, on any occasion, punch any other member of staff, even though he may really want to. The individual may be expected to provide shelter in their home for those in need. The individual may demonstrate a character, the individual must demonstrate a character of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The individual will be expected to learn God's word under the guidance of their superiors and will be expected to instruct and correct others accordingly. Then at the bottom of the job centre card it will say, individuals with multiple spouses need not apply. Salary is zero per annum with benefits, but no car allowance. I remember back when we used to have a Sunday school here and the kids there were surprised. They thought we were getting paid to do the Sunday school. They couldn't understand how someone would just do that. But Titus is expected to find people like this and make them elders and overseers. He is to appoint them. It means to establish them and teach them what they must do. Titus was to replicate what Paul did with Titus himself when he was appointed. Titus was working with God to identify and choose the good leaders. If you remember, God has already been working in the lives of these good leaders to shape their character and experience. And Titus was supposed to look for the right signs and confirm the work that God was doing in their lives. God chooses good leaders who point to Jesus. Let's continue now with the last section of Titus chapter 1, verses 10 to 16. For there are many rebellious people, more talkers, mere talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision group. They must be silenced, because they are ruining whole households by teaching things they ought not to teach, and that for the sake of dishonest gain. Even one of their own prophets has said, Cretans are always liars, evil brutes, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore rebuke them sharply, so that they will be sound in the faith, and will pay no attention to Jewish myths or the commands of those who reject the truth. To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and consciences are corrupted. They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. Amen. It's dangerous to trust the wrong people. And it's dangerous when the wicked are put in charge. Proverbs 28:15, which is just one example of many, like a roaring lion or a charging bear is a wicked man ruling over a helpless people. Paul says these bad leaders need to be silenced. Paul was expecting Titus to confront these people and refute their behavior and their teachings. Titus was to stand up for what was true and correct according to Scripture. These bad leaders could be identified just as the good leaders could be chosen by their character and actions. Character reveals itself through actions. Matthew chapter 7 is what we had read the other week. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Just like Titus, you too can identify these bad leaders and prevent yourself from being influenced by them. Good leaders will point to Jesus and his word. Bad leaders will lead you away from Jesus and his word. These bad leaders will, for example, perhaps point to you being the problem and try and get you helping or healing yourself. The end result is that you are tied up in knots and looking inwardly instead of looking to Jesus. Jesus is the one who heals. Paul tells Titus to rebuke them sharply so that they will be sound in the faith. The rebuke is not to exclude them or send them away. The rebuke is there to correct them, to bring them back, to restore them. We all need to listen, and we all need to learn to listen to what is right. If we don't listen to the rebuke, then we ignore it at our peril. Not everyone who tells you off wants to harm you. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 17, he who heeds discipline shows the way to life, but whoever ignores correction leads others astray. So to finish, some important things to note. Church government is important to help the church grow closer to Jesus. That's what it's there for. It's to help build up and help encourage, help us keep on the straight and close to Jesus. Leaders are there for your benefit. But leaders may not always agree with you. And rebukes are not to drive you away, but they're an opportunity to restore. So in the end, you need to be careful who you listen to and avoid those bad teachers. But trust that God chooses good leaders who point us to Jesus. Amen.